Good morning, everyone. And a warm welcome on a rather wet, but not too cold day. I think we can survive. It's lovely to see you all here, and we welcome those who are here visiting and those who are here every week and those who come now and again. Every single person, very welcome. The only notice I want to remind you of is that there is no service here next Sunday. The service is a circuit service at Macclesfield, and it's the farewell service for Helen Byrne. And you're asked, if you come, to bring donations for a finger buffet. So there will be a finger buffet after the service. If anyone wants to be reminded of the what, or wants a lift to it, needs to ask a friend, I'm sure things can be sorted out. And now we welcome Abby, who some of you will have met, some of you won't, but you know she's the chaplain at Woodlands, the Methodist home up at the end of Towers Road and Middlewood Road. So it's a very warm welcome to Abby to lead our worship this morning.
Thank you and good morning to you all. It's good to see some familiar faces here today. We begin with a call to worship. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Brothers and sisters, we gather in the name of Jesus to worship, to listen for the voice of God and to hear his word, and today to reflect upon the work of MHA locally and throughout the nation. So let us begin in song by singing our first hymn, God is here. You may wish to stand if you're comfortable standing while we sing.
Me to offer praise and praise.
Let us pray. God of all good gifts, we thank you and praise you. You bring wisdom, ability, strength and courage to our lives. Enable us to use our gifts in service to you and to others. In all that we do and in all that we are, may your name be glorified. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'm now going to invite Chris to come and share with us from Scripture, after which we're going to view a video about the work of MHA.
The reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all part of one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that his part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. Amen.
Most of our members are in their 80s. Most of our members don't have as much family support. They're just living at home alone. So our objective is really to give them connection in the community. I have a team of community coordinators who work with me to provide a social programme every day of the week. This is what we do on a Monday afternoon, bring younger people and older people together.
Because of these activities, I feel I'm full of company. And that's what's making me feel happy and active.
Well, it's been great. I like working with the youngsters. Got grandchildren of my own as well, although they live quite a way away, so I don't see them all that often. So it's nice to be with the youngsters again. Yeah, I love it.
We are all on our own after retiring. Children gone away, they have their own place. So we need someone like this community.
I learned that old people are actually really funny, and also dogs like belly scratches.
I like seeing other people's faces. I like meeting new people and also decorating and having fun.
Everybody here likes to make friends and be more compassionate to other people.
So it's really important for our students at Norfolk College to get involved with MHA communities. It helps them build skills they wouldn't necessarily be able to build in the classroom. Things like developing that empathy, being able to communicate with people that they're not used to, not familiar with.
You can learn a lot from them. It's really fun.
I like meeting new people and gardening so we have more oxygen.
You're all equal and together. You're all one big community.
We definitely want everybody to feel welcome, irrespective of their faith, gender, sexuality, background. So we want to be inclusive.
I think the more intergenerational contact that you can have, the better, and each generation can learn from the others.
Thank you for all of you who give financially, for those who pray for the work, for those who support us by raising awareness and signposting people to the schemes, because we know it changes people's lives.
We're going to sing our next hymn now, which is In Christ There Is No East or West. Since I've been supplied with a radio mic, I'm going to wander about a bit. I think that's working, isn't it? Can you all hear me okay? Great. So just a few thoughts, really, about our reading, about the video we saw, and about the work of MHA, both locally and further afield. So starting with that reading that Chris brought to us from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, when I was growing up, I always had a sort of image of St. Paul as being a bit po-faced and serious. I think it must have been the way I was taught about his teachings, that I always read them with a very straight face and found him quite difficult, if I'm honest, with his long sentences that can sometimes be quite complicated. But as I've got older and I've maybe read him with a little more independence of mind, I've realised quite how much wit and humour there is within St. Paul's writings, and this passage is a great example. because he's addressing one of the problems that we had in the church then, clearly by the fact he was addressing it, and which we still have in the church and in wider society now. The problem of people always thinking that everyone should be like them. And he addresses it through this metaphor of the human body and comes out with that those lines about, you know, what would the body be like if it were all eyes? And you can sort of imagine, can't you, how peculiar the world would be. He uses the human body as a metaphor for the diversity which God has imbued throughout creation. And that we can see, I know you had your eco weekend last weekend in celebrating the wonder and the diversity of creation. When we look out, we can see that God loves diversity. And we love it too. We're made in his image. When we see beautiful flowers, we can really rejoice in those because of the different colours, the different shapes. We can rejoice as we see the different forms of insects and wildlife attracted to them. Diversity is good. And yet when it comes to human society, sometimes we want everyone to be like us, or we certainly behave like that. But that's not how God intended it to be. He made human beings too full of diversity, and that's one of the things that can bring strength and creativity to our society. Now, MHA have chosen this particular passage for MHA Sunday this year because we have been thinking particularly about how we can harness one aspect of that diversity to help our residents in places like Woodlands, where I work, and our members in places like the community scheme in Macclesfield and the retirement living scheme in Heaton Norris, how we can bring more richness to their life by harnessing diversity of age, by bringing people together, young people with the older people we work with. And we saw a little bit of that in the video, didn't we? How in one community scheme, that is really being lived out in a weekly group where young people come in from schools and colleges. And you could see even from that little clip we got how much both groups of people got from that, how much pleasure, how much learning, how enriched those lives were. And in Woodlands, we have just been starting to enjoy some of that again. Of course, during COVID, we had such restrictions in place on visiting. At first, no visitors at all, and then gradually visitors for people who were gravely ill, and visitors, one visitor per person. But for a long time, and I have to say, much to my regret, one of the rules that was imposed upon care homes was that there were to be no under 16s, the basis of that being that under 16s couldn't cope with social distancing. Now, I have to say, from my experience as a grandma, I found that my young grandchildren coped very well with social distancing and were much better at sticking to it than some of the teenagers and young adults that I knew. But anyway, that's an aside. For a long time, we had no one under the age of 16 in the home, and we're just beginning now to start working really hard to make sure that everyone in Woodlands, whether they have young relatives or not, gets to mix with the younger generations. And just in the last couple of months, we've had visits both from a primary school choir and from the college choir and musicians. And those have been really joyful occasions where we've enjoyed both beautiful music, but also just the pleasure of being with people of different ages. So I completely understand why MHA have picked that as their theme for this year. And it's going to be an area of work that we will be focusing on in this 12 months from MHA Sunday this year, the official date of which is the second Sunday in June, up until that same date next year. It is in that kind of mixing, that kind of richness and diversity, that we are able to bring something of that fullness of life that we heard Jesus speaking of in the sentence that I use from Scripture in my call to worship. We can survive when we stay in our silos within our own age group, our own demographic, our own geographical area. We can survive, we can keep going. But we can only really thrive and flourish when we get to see the full diversity of humanity, when we get to mix with people from different ages, maybe from different backgrounds, with different life experience, with different skills and abilities. And the intergenerational work that we're undertaking is one aspect of that. But there are many other ways in which we enjoy diversity and learning from one another in Woodlands and in our own, in our other projects and schemes and homes across MHA. We enjoy great diversity in our staff team. We have people in Woodlands working from all over the world. We benefit from people from Romania, from Zambia, from Ghana, from India, and probably from lots of other places that I don't even realise people are from. And they come with different skills, but also different angles on life. They have different knowledge of different kinds of music and different kinds of crafts that they can bring into our place of community. And they also enrich our conversations. Conversations are always more interesting when you learn something from them, aren't they? And most of our residents are over 80, so they've learnt quite a lot already. We need to bring a bit more to life to be able to enrich that. And of course, all of this works in two ways. Those of us that work at Woodlands gain masses from those that are there as residents. Of course, we have Rosemary with us today as just one example of that, coming with her lifetime lived in Cornwall and all the knowledge that she brings. She's introduced me in the past year to the joy of Cornish male voice choirs, which I never even knew was a thing. And for every single resident of our 51 individuals, I could bring similar things that I've learnt and benefited from. So it's all that different diversity coming together that allows us to live in community. Of course, it's important that we're not naive about this either. The reason that Paul was writing with this metaphor about feet honouring hands and vice versa was precisely that there was division in the church in his day. Back then, the issue was Jews and Gentiles, of course, those that had come from the Jewish faith and those that were converts. And that was the big dividing line then. Not really an issue for us today in the same way, but we have our own dividing lines. And it's important that each one of us is able to meet people with an open mind and, even more importantly, an open heart, always looking to see what we can learn from them. Even in those cases where we maybe think they are deeply wrong about something in particular, or that they are so different to us that we struggle to find the common ground. So we can learn this from Paul. And I actually find it quite reassuring that this is clearly something that has been an issue down the years from the very beginning of the church, that it's not just a feature in modern society. We sometimes look out and see that we seem to be more divided than ever, and can feel quite hopeless about that. But actually, maybe it's just that we have different ways of expressing it now. We can continue to hold on to this deep wisdom that comes to us down 2,000 years of our faith from Paul, and remind ourselves and remind our brothers and sisters that actually it's in our diversity that we find strength. Now, of course, within that, today we're also thinking on MHA Sunday about service, about how we bring our own particular gifts and skills and how we can use them for the good of one another. And there are ways in which we do that within MHA, of course. There's the obvious service in care that we see day in and day out. But there are other forms of service too. There is the gift of time that we give to one another in both directions, staff members giving time to residents and residents giving time to staff members and volunteers too. And in that time, we can find new understandings of one another and we can benefit and learn together. There's also the gift of prayer, of course. When we pray for one another, we often find that we increase in understanding, as well as bringing one another's concerns before God, asking for his help, his strengthening, and his guidance in how we address the problems that life is throwing at us. And each of those ways that we serve one another within MHA are also ways that those of you in the church support and help our work. You support us in the very obvious way that many people within the Methodist Church give financially to MHA, and that enables us to do some of these extras. The care we provide, the basics of care, are provided by the fees that our residents pay month in and month out. But on top of that, in MHA, we add things like chaplaincy. I'll leave it to Rosemary and others to judge whether you get value for money in that particular one. But chaplaincy is one of the unique aspects that supports the spirituality and the religious and emotional well-being of our residents. We also invest that money that you give into music therapy so that particularly those residents living with dementia, but others with difficult health conditions too, can benefit from regular music therapy that helps with things like improving people's ability to vocalise, improving their emotional well-being, bringing calm where perhaps there's anxiety. And it also allows us to access additional funding for special projects, for things that really bring the joy to life, for bringing in young people, for taking out residents on trips and to activities, and for any additional things that might be over and above what you would expect in basic care. So thank you to those of you that support us financially, and if that's something you'd like to do, I think there is a basket outside labelled up as MHA. But also, you support us in equally important ways, and you can support us through giving time. I know some of you do this already in coming in to support worship within Woodlands, but there are other opportunities as well for anyone that wants to become a volunteer within MHA, either at Woodlands, where we welcome people to come and support us in facilitating groups and activities, in facilitating worship, or in just spending time with people, just have it being another person that someone can meet with and talk to. There are also opportunities in Macclesfield at our community scheme there to help with lunch clubs and activities that are working with people that are still living at home but maybe need that little bit extra support. So there are plenty of opportunities for volunteering, and also within the church community itself to be an MHA advocate and champion within the church. And all of those opportunities you can find out more about on the MHA website, which is very simple, mha.org.uk, if you don't know that. So there are opportunities to give time. But again, one of the most important and fundamental ways that you can support us, and which we'll do together in just a few moments, is to pray for the work of MHA in Woodlands, in Adlington House, in Heaton Norris, in Macclesfield communities, but also in all our other homes and schemes and retirement living venues across the country. You can pray particularly at this time for those homes that are going through quite a difficult time at the moment, as MHA, like all providers of social care, have been coming out of the pandemic with some really difficult decisions ahead of them about how we sustain the charity into the future. And you may have heard that our trustees have taken a decision that they need to actually sell to other providers 10 of our homes. The closest one to us here is up in Oldham at Avonlea Gardens, which is currently on the market. And although those homes will continue, and they'll continue to carry the ethos that they have been imbued with through being part of MHA, it is a difficult time for them with great uncertainty, uncertainty about what changes may come with a new provider taking on those homes. So we hold them in prayer, particularly at this time, as well as our local schemes. And we think of all people who are facing uncertainty, not just in MHA, but in other places across our society that are facing difficult decisions in view of the cost of living increases that we've seen recently. As we're thinking about prayer, I just want to thank you once again. I'm sure I said this last year, but I am still very much mindful of the way in which your prayers here at Poynton really upheld us through our own very difficult time as we went through the COVID pandemic. It really did make such a difference to all of us at Woodlands that we knew that we were held in prayer by you here in Poynton Methodist Church. And that's something that will stay with me actually for a long time, that without the prayers of those at home isolating in those times of lockdown when we were together in Woodlands, I'm not sure that we would have got through it as well as we did. So thank you once again for your prayers in the past as well as for your prayers in the future. So just to end, I hope that as we continue worship today and as you go from this place, you will take with you that sense of the value that each one of you bring to our ministry at MHA, and that you may think about how you can continue in that. But I hope too that our reflections today on that value in diversity as we bring ages together within MHA, I hope you might take that away as well and think about your own lives and where the diversity is and the different people that you can give value to and that you can draw value from in the days and weeks ahead. So may we all rejoice in the beauty and the wonder of the diverse community that God has placed us in, and may we bring our own skills and abilities within that to add what we can give as we receive so greatly from our Heavenly Father. Amen. So if you'd like to join me again in singing our next hymn as we think about how we can contribute to MHA and to our community more widely, we're going to sing When I Needed a Neighbour.
When I needed a neighbor, were you there?
So now we come to our prayers of intercessions and an opportunity to pray for MHA, for the church, and for the world more widely. Loving God, we give thanks for 80 years of MHA and their continuing work in support of older people in homes and in the wider community. We give thanks for the vision of Walter Hall, our founder, and for the way in which it lives on locally at Woodlands Care Home, at Adlington's House Retirement Living Scheme, and at the Cheshire East Communities Scheme in Macclesfield. We thank you, Lord, for privileged moments, for friendships being formed, generations learning from one another, community being created, for special moments of recognition through worship and music for those living with dementia. And we thank you, Lord, that you remember us even when we forget you. We pray for carers, both employees and volunteers, and those who care for loved ones at home. We pray for those who make sacrifices every day for others. We ask that in their caring, they may find hidden treasures of joy, connection, and hope. We ask, Lord, that you will bless all who care with strength and patience to undertake their tasks. We pray for all those who direct the work of MHA, especially for their trustees and the executive leadership team, as they seek to ensure that the organisation is strong enough to continue into years ahead. We pray that the needs of the organisation may be met in funding, in staffing, in wisdom, and in good decision making. We pray for those who are facing change and uncertainty, and ask that they may rely on your steadfast presence and love. We pray for young and old and everyone in between. We give thanks for the gift that different generations bring to one another and for the joy that we find when we spend time together. We pray for young people beginning their summer holidays. We ask that they may be safe, that they may enjoy family time. We pray for parents, especially any who are concerned about how they will manage financially during the 6 weeks ahead. We pray for teachers and all school and college staff, that they may find rest and refreshment. And as we pray for older people, we particularly pray for those suffering from physical or mental pain or emotional distress. We pray for all those of any age who are currently waiting for hospital appointments or results. We pray for those who feel lonely and isolated, and for all who feel anxious. We ask, Lord, that you will bring peace and love to those people and situations. And as we pray for those facing health difficulties, we take a moment to call to mind any we know who are unwell at this time. Lord, bring your healing upon them. Almighty Father, bless your church. May we continue your work as we seek to follow you each day of our lives. Guide us in your ways and direct us towards the people that you are calling us to serve. Help us to discern and use the gifts that you have given us. We pray particularly for new staff joining the team at Woodlands at this time, that they may be welcomed, that they may be satisfied in their work. We give you thanks for all those you are calling to work in the care sector. And so, Lord, we offer our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn today now, and it's the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. So perhaps as we sing, we can ponder what it is that we're being called to give to God's work in this place and in our community more widely. End in a moment with the final prayer of blessing, but I'd just like before that to thank you all once again. Thank you for your welcome this morning. Thank you for having me again this year, and thank you to all those that have been involved in worship for your help this morning with sound and AV and music and reading and welcoming in general. It's been wonderful to be with you all again today. So we end with a prayer of blessing. May we go from here into the coming days with the assurance of God's presence with us and all those we meet. May we discover our gifts and use them for his service. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us and with all those we love and pray for, today and every day. Amen.